Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Investec FX podcast. My name's Lewis Thorne from the FX dealing team, and I'm joined here today by Chris Brann from the FX trading team and George Brown from our economists. We're here to just briefly cover some of the topics that we're seeing at the moment in the markets and what that may mean ahead for some of our customers. Some of you may know me. I work on the dealing team and look after a portfolio of corporate clients, helping them manage their FX risks. I think obviously since the lockdown started, there's been quite a few changes more recently, and some of the bits we'd like to explore today is what that means ahead. Obviously, the UK is starting to lift lockdown. What does that mean for the pound in the coming weeks? I think the prospect of Brexit is now back on the agenda. I think obviously when lockdown initially kicked off, I think people were just expecting an extension to the withdrawal agreement to be a bit of a given. However, recent headlines seem to indicate that that's not the case. There's obviously more talk from the Bank of England that negative rates may well be on the horizon. So while the UK is returning to some sense of normality, what does that mean for the pound? Are we going back to the new normal, or is there still some turbulent times ahead? So first of all, I'd like to hand over to George from our economics team for him to give his view on this current situation.
Thank you, Lewis. So I think, social distancing globally, that looks to have brought the initial wave of COVID-19 under control. So if you look at the daily rise in global cases, that's now less than 2%. And it had stood in excess of 10% in late March. So resultantly, I think, as you mentioned, the majority of countries now have begun to ease the lockdowns. We're getting back to some sense of normality. And the evidence really is suggesting that not only is global activity bottomed out, but it's actually gently rising off its lows. I guess from a domestic perspective, the Prime Minister's confirmed that non-essential retailers will be permitted to start trading again on the 15th of June. But I guess social distancing is going to be required for the meantime, so it won't still be business as usual. But the hope obviously is that the restrictions can be relaxed further, and that may well be facilitated by the launch of England's test and trace scheme today. And that's going to see an army of thousands of contact tracers identify individuals who have come into close proximity with people who have tested positive for the virus. And that should hope to isolate pockets of outbreaks and help to open up the economy more widely. We're also expecting to hear some further details on the coronavirus job retention scheme from the Chancellor over the coming days. And that follows the announcement earlier this month that the furlough scheme would be extended to the end of October, but with some modifications from August onwards. Specifically, whilst employers are going to be allowed to bring back staff on a part-time basis in August, they're also going to be asked to pay a percentage towards the salaries of furloughed employees. Reports suggest that this could be about 20% or a fifth of wages. And Mr. Sunak is reportedly going to get or set a cut-off date for enrolment, which has seen 8.4 million workers furloughed to date, or about a quarter of UK employees. But I guess more importantly, the next month could well be important from a sterling risk perspective. I mean, first of all, we've got a decision due from the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee on the 18th of June. Now, at its last meeting, you had two members voting for a further £100 billion of quantitative easing. That's following the £200 billion of purchases, which were launched in March. They're set to conclude in July based on the current pace of purchases. Now, we're expecting that that's going to be backed by the majority of the committee next month, and that's been hinted at by the Governor Andrew Bailey as well as other members. But I guess what's more surprising is that the committee have actually said that they are actively investigating the possibility of a negative bank rate. For some time now, they've been arguing that the current rate of 0.1% is the effective lower bound. So that is quite a surprising development. Now, we think it's highly unlikely the committee is going to take bank rate into negative territory next month, but UK money markets are certainly taking the prospect pretty seriously over the coming years. And they're actually currently pricing in a 45 to 50% chance of a 25 basis point cut to negative 0.15%. But for now, our central case is the bank will not go down this route, particularly as it would essentially serve as a de facto tax on banks, which would obviously be counterproductive to the current focus on boosting credit availability. But I guess June as well could see a number of Brexit developments. Currently, the two sides remain far apart on a number of issues, one of which has been fishing rules, which both Brussels and London had hoped to have had an agreement on by the end of next month. Now, that has obviously led to some nervousness over whether there will be a full free trade deal struck and ratified before the end of this year, which is when the transition period is set to end. Now, I think, Lewis, as you mentioned, there had been some speculation that the transition period would be extended in the withdrawal agreement that specifies that can be by 1 to 2 years if both sides agree to it. Now, that's a scenario that the EU seems receptive to. That was reiterated in a letter penned by Michel Barnier, the chief negotiator, this week. But the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, he's been adamant that he will not agree to an extension, even in the wake of the disruption posed by the coronavirus. Now, that tactic, the hardline tactic, may well be paying off, because there are reports that the EU is now preparing to ease its stance on fisheries in next week's talks in the hope of reaching a compromise. Meanwhile, we've also all seen the recent controversy over Dominic Cummings' trips to Durham during the lockdown. Now, I think there's some fairly polarised views on this, but putting these aside, there could well be some implications for Brexit developments. And that's because Mr. Cummings is a hardline Eurosceptic at heart. He was campaign director of the successful Vote Leave campaign in 2016. Now, of course, he is probably the Prime Minister's closest and most trusted advisor, and therefore very influential in the UK's negotiating strategy with the EU. So if he was forced to stand down from his role, then that could well lead to a less hawkish stance on the trade talks, and could well mean that there's a greater chance of an extension to the transition period before the end of this year. So overall, certainly a lot to watch out for from a UK perspective next month.
And how does some of that translate through to what you're seeing in the FX markets, Chris?
Well, I think if you look from sterling dollar, if you look from where we were at the last podcast, we're pretty much trading at the same levels, around a 122.50. But we have been in a range of around 120.80 to 123.70. So that's almost a 300 pip range over the last 2 weeks. So while it is a little bit sideways at the moment for sterling dollar, I think it's mainly because we're seeing a bit of mixed forces that are pushing the market. We're kind of seeing the domestic headlines, such as like negative rates and the Dominic Cummings eyesight incident that we mentioned, as well as Brexit. And we're playing that against more of a general risk sentiment kind of theme, where we're seeing some risk on moves, especially when we get some like positive news from the experimental COVID drugs that are being produced. So we've kind of got two different forces pulling on the currency pair. So I think that explains why it's been somewhat sideways. We are still seeing Brexit headlines, as you mentioned, and the EU fishing headlines that we saw this week. It kind of shows that there is a bit more flexibility coming from the EU, so that could provide a bit of a boost for the pound in the days ahead. Where we have really been seeing movement is in sterling euro. So sterling euro is down from 112.80 to trading around 111 at the moment. And that's largely been down to the European Commission Recovery Fund and the announcements of the level of funding, which has exceeded expectations. So I think if we look at that, it was originally like the French-German initial draft agreement was looking at a fund of 500 billion, and the latest one comes out as 750 billion. So it has really exceeded those expectations, and that's been reflected in the euro strengthening, especially over the last couple of days. Also on the downside, I guess, is the Bank of England still talk about negative rates. On Thursday, we saw Bank of England Saunders saying it's safer for the BOE to ease too much than too little. So it does keep this kind of negative rate speculation in the forefront. I think it's unlikely, and certainly not the first policy tool they'll use. But again, it's clear they want to keep it as an option if it's ever to be used. So I think maybe in the long run, there's plenty there for some further sterling weakness, especially if we get like a second wave after opening up and negative rates. But in the short term, I think this 15th of June reopening a lot of shops will provide a boost. It will be a sign that the economy will be getting back on its feet. So, yeah, I think we still could play a range of around 121.26 over the coming weeks. But there's certainly lots of things for us to move. One of the other things that's been quite interesting, which you touched on at the last podcast, was about the US-China relations. And what we've seen since then is basically quite a big increase in the tensions. And it's not just about the coronavirus this time. Now we're seeing stuff with Hong Kong and the US threatening to pull the special status of Hong Kong and having more sanctions. So this has been escalated quite a lot, really, since the last time we spoke. Add to that, we've had the Chinese military stepping up preparations for armed combat. We've had a 6.6% increase in the national budget for defense for China. And all this is fed into the dollar China hitting the highs of basically last year, 2019. So we're trading around 720 at the moment, which is basically the higher when it was at the peak of the trade war last year. So I think there is potential for dollar China to go higher and higher as the Chinese authorities accept a weaker currency to offset these potential sanctions that are seem to be coming their way very soon.
What's your sense in terms of market positioning around the pound at the moment? Do you think people are nervous around, obviously, what could lie ahead from the Bank of England? Or do you think perhaps, potentially, once we've got that out of the way and shops are reopened, there is a bit of scope for sterling to recover ever so slightly? What's your sort of current take on it?
Well, I would argue that the negative rate story has been pretty much priced in. I think it wouldn't be, the forward market's already pricing in further down the curve negative rates. So I think a lot of that is priced in. So I think in that aspect, you do have potential for the upside. If the shops reopen, the economy gets a boost, and this idea of negative rates takes a bit of a sideward step. But that would be more short term. I think in the long term, we're going to have to look at the Brexit negotiations and how much time we've used up and whether there's an extension, like you mentioned. I think these are going to be the factors that weigh overall. So I think there's potential for some upside movement in the short term. But overall, I think there's plenty of negative headlines around the corner for the UK. So yeah, I think still a little bit range bound around the 121, 26. I guess over the coming months, maybe a risk of the downside, but short term towards the top end of the range.
Okay, well, look, thank you very much for joining us there, guys. That's very helpful. Obviously, plenty to digest over the coming weeks, and certainly as we look towards the back end of the year with how the Brexit situation unfolds. Thank you very much, everyone. Goodbye.